Hello and welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. In this new series, we are exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot trumps in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each week, we will be looking at a different tarot trump. These are meant to be short introductions, so are not going to be an exhaustive examination, but really rather a taster to get you started and thinking. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show, and you can also find us on YouTube and Facebook if you type in Occult London Podcast. Hope you enjoy it. So this week we are going to be looking at path 23 of the Tree of Life, which is the path of Mem. As usual, we will be going through the key correspondences for the particular path. These are taken from Greer's excellent book, Paths of Wisdom, which I highly recommend if anyone is interested in doing further research. And so we'll go through the correspondences now. So to begin with, the Hebrew letter of the path is Mem, which means water. The name of God is El. The astrological correspondence, obviously, is water. The tarot correspondence is obviously the Hanged Man. The esoteric title is Spirit of the Mighty Waters. The Yetzeratic path text is the 23rd path is the stabilist intelligence, and it is so called because it has the virtue of consistency among all numerations. The mythological principle is self-sacrifice. The experiences of the path are images of water in its various forms. The ocean, travel through underwater caves, drowning, drowned people, sunken ships and lost cities. Entities of the path include spirits of the elemental water, underwater phantoms and the drowned giants. The magical image of the path is an arch of pure deep blue bearing the letter Mem in brilliant white upon its keystone. The door in the arch bears the image of the trump. The colours, in Atzeluth it's deep blue, in Bria it's sea green, in Yetzirah deep olive green, and then Uzziah is white flecked with purple. So moving on to the Kabbalistic attributions of this card now. So as we can see from our diagram of the Tree of Life, this path connects the Sephirah of Hod, which is connected with obviously the mental, intellectual side of things, with Gebura, which is very much the Martian breaking down fiery sphere of Mars. And it is very much a path of, on the pillar of severity, so it's very much one of these paths. In its role of creation, it forms a, you know, kind of a channel really by which the power of Gebura sends its power down into the patterns of Hod. So it's one of the role, it's one of these kind of roles or routes of redemption in the way that it kind of opens a way by which really our kind of mental capacities, etc., can actually start to kind of overcome the limitations and become a more of a vehicle. This is like one of the first contacts with Gebura, if we're obviously climbing up the tree. So it's also to do with kind of the sphere of breaking things down. So it may be to do with actually, you know, ideas or concepts that you've held strong for a long time are going to be turned upside down and completely changed in your viewpoint of things. Dolores Ashcroft Nowicki mentions about this when she says, "The fire aspect, when linked with water, produces tremendous power, much akin to a hydraulic pump. So if we think about, obviously, the fire aspect of Geburah linking with the water of Mem, then we have this kind of concept of, steam. So it's fire reacting with steam creates this huge hydraulic energy, which kind of powers forward. The name of the letter Mem obviously means water, and its form is traditionally said to symbolise, waves on a troubled sea. So it's like four other letters. It has a final form used at the end of the word, and this is also meant to represent the sea in calm weather. As we've seen, the divine name is Al. This is obviously the name of God associated with water, but it's also the name assigned to the Sephira of Chesed, which has water as its elemental correspondence. also, if we look at, the astrological correspondence is water, the element water, and the esoteric title is the spirit of the mighty waters. So from all of these different clues, we're being told very strongly that, all of the symbols connected with this path are very much around water. If we look at the actual symbolism of the card, it shows a man upside down in most depictions. Some cards actually show him being on a cross or a gibbet. The Golden Dawn deck actually has him hanging in a sea cave, which I think is quite cool. And obviously a representation to the water symbolism of the path. And also some of the more modern decks. So for instance, the Rider-Waite deck has the main character on the card have a halo around his head and a kind of serene expression. So he's kind of happy being here, being upside down on this sacrificial tree. This path is very much a path of kind of essential passivity and receptivity. So water obviously suggests this, but it's also kind of the passivity or the idea that it's invulnerable to change. So water has no shape, so it will flow over hills, it will go down cracks, it will go through mountains, and it will form things around it, but it cannot be damaged itself. It cannot be resisted because it does not resist anything. So this is very much, I think, quite an interesting idea that whatever passes through it, it remains. And you could say that is an allegory for, really that kind of divine spark within each individual. It doesn't matter what happens to us on the outside, that light will still remain, even though that is obviously quite a difficult thing to get your head around to begin with. It's very much connected with self-sacrifice as well. So, the figure is hanging upside down from the tree, from the gibbet. He's there willingly as well. If you notice, he's only tied on with one foot. And, I'm sure he could potentially get off this gibbet if he wanted to, but he is there because he has chosen to be there. And that is very much an important aspect of this. This is self-sacrifice, sacrificing the self for knowledge. Particularly relevant in the sense of mythology is the story of Odin on the World Tree, which I'm sure people already have come across before. But in terms of the story, so at the centre of the Norse cosmos stands the great tree Yggdrasil, and the upper branches cradle Asgard, which is really the kind of the home and fortress of the gods and goddesses, of whom Odin is the chief. This tree, Yggdrasil, grows out of the well of Urd. So this is a pool who's kind of got fathomless depths that hold many of the most powerful forces and beings in the universe. And amongst this group are some beings called the Norns, who are essentially three maidens who create the fates of all beings. And they are famous, according to the stories, for carving runes into the trunk of Yggdrasil, and then these obviously carry these intentions through the tree, affecting everything in the nine worlds. So Odin watches the Norns from Asgard and he gets jealous, so he decides he wants to know them. Because they dwell in the Well of Urd, they do not reveal themselves to anyone who does not prove themselves worthy. So it's almost a bit like the Grail quest, in the sense that the Grail can only be found by the knight who is pure and worthy of finding it. It will not reveal itself to people who are not. So in order to kind of undergo this and I guess to kind of purify himself, Odin hangs himself from a branch of Yggdrasil, pierced with a spear, and looks downward into the shadowy waters. And he actually forbids any of the other gods to grant him any aid, doesn't want any water, and he stares down and stares down. And he does this for a long time and eventually survives this state, and he gets into this kind of trance state that the stories tell, where he's kind of living between living and dead. And finally he eventually sees the runes. So they obviously accepted his sacrifice and was shown to him. So, and then that's the end of Odin's kind of ordeal. And he's meant to have said the following: "Then I was fertilized and came wise. I truly grew and thrived. From a word to a word, I was led to a word. From a work to a work, I was led to a work." So it's this idea of Odin sacrificing himself. I am the sacrifice for my own knowledge, if that makes sense. Other gods that would be relevant to this would obviously be any gods and goddesses relating to the sea or water. So you can work with Neptune, Poseidon, obviously, as well as any other sort of sea or kind of elemental beings that would be relevant to the powers of the water, the rivers, the seas, oceans, etc. Also, any gods that would be relevant would be connected with sacrifice, punishment, suffering as well. So that's the kind of the key themes to remember from that point of view. That's all we've got time for today. So I hope everybody has enjoyed this episode of the Occult London podcast. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. And we will hope to speak to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.